This is In Focus, the weekly public affairs program from KTBP and the Team Sports Radio, featuring members of the local community working to make East Texas a better place.
Good morning, everybody. Good to have you with us here for In Focus. I'm Roger Gray. And yes, it is election time. Early voting began this week, and we're going to talk about it with Joyce LaBombard. She is president of the League of Women Voters in Texas. Joins us from Austin, I'm presuming, by the area code. How are you, Joyce?
I'm good. Thank you for having me on, Roger.
Well, we're more than happy to do that. We began early. This is very timely because I just got your latest press release this morning. We began early voting as we record this on Wednesday, yesterday, and it goes through a week from Friday. And obviously, the purpose of the press release, the latest one anyway, is to get everybody to get out and do it, get out and vote.
Yes, absolutely. You know, voter turnout is always so low in the primaries, and that's where most of the competitive races are. So your vote actually counts more during the March primaries than it does in the November elections.
And that's, I was thinking about as I drove in today, that is one of the ironies of all of this, is we all think about the big presidential elections every 4 years, and that is, goodness gracious, that's important, but so much is decided in these off-year elections, and as you approach the off-year election next fall, the folks who are going to participate in that are decided now, this
right.
month. Yeah,
absolutely, yes, because it's the primaries that decides who gets to really be on those November elections. And so the really competitive races, and the thing to look for is which candidate in the primaries is it that you really want to support so that they actually get onto the ballot in November.
In most cases, except maybe on voting day, you can vote in either primary, right?
I'm sorry.
You can vote in either for either party. It's open.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. So during the primaries, Texas has what's known as an open primary. So we do not declare what party we are with when we register to vote. And so during the primaries, you go into the polling location and you decide which party you want to vote for. And of course, if you for Libertarian or Green, they have conventions a little bit later, so then you don't vote in this. You go to their convention. Mm-hmm. But if you're going to vote for either the Republican or Democrat party, you tell them which one you want, and then you go place your ballot.
And one great resource is, I am guessing, vote411.org.
Absolutely. We think that's the absolute best voter's guide there is out there.
Well, you would, of course. Yeah.
Of course. You know, but, well, we're a multi-issue organization, and we work really hard to be nonpartisan. We don't care who people vote for. We just want them to go vote, and we want them to have the information that they need so that they can make their own choice.
And that's what 411 is all about. Explain if you go to the website.
Yeah, so Vote 411 is the online interactive version of our voter's guide. We have printed voter guides also that are in libraries, but Vote 411 is a really easy tool where you can log in, you put in your address, it brings up the ballot for where you live. So you only see what's going to be on your ballot. And then you can compare the candidates there online. You can even select that online and then make all your selections, print that out, and bring that printout into the voting booth with you. Because obviously you can't use your phone while you're in the polling location.
Right.
So this is an easy way for you to make your selections before you go, so that you have it right there, and it's easy to go through your ballot when you get to the polling location.
Now, Joyce, I've been doing this for way too long, and I have always found the League a marvelous resource for interviews, for information, et cetera.
We appreciate that.
Well, indeed, and as you say, it's a nonpartisan organization, but that's a tough sell these days in these partisan times, isn't it?
It really is. And you know, we try to be as transparent as we possibly can with how we are nonpartisan. And it really is that we never support or endorse any political candidate or any political party. People sometimes think we're partisan because we do take stands on issues. But the way we do that is we've studied those issues for a long time, and we come to a consensus as an organization of how do we want to, what's our policy on that issue? And we have long-standing policies that go back to the 50s and 60s and the 70s and longer. You know, we're 106 years old. And so we really stand on those values and those positions when we do talk about policy issues. But when it comes to the elections, you know, we, our voters guide, we give questions to every candidate that's in a competitive race. They can answer it. We don't edit their answers in any way. There are guidelines they have to follow, and we just publish what they have to say on these questions. Unfortunately, sometimes the candidates don't answer, and so that's where we really need need help from the public to put pressure on the candidates to answer, so that everybody has the information and they can vote.
Oh my goodness, a politician avoiding a question. How unique. Yeah, I know. I have moderated some of the league votes over the years here in Houston, which is my hometown, and elsewhere. And number one, it's a great forum. It's great fun. And it's very revealing about some candidates in terms of avoidance, misdirection, et cetera, et cetera. is that, and I know the league was formed in 1920, as you mentioned, kind of as an outgrowth, I suppose, at least partially, out of the suffrage movement originally.
Yes, absolutely. It was out of the suffrage movement. And it's a long history, but yeah, one of what they call it, the winning plan, Chapman. Oh, God, no, I can't remember her
Carrie
name.
Chapman.
How
Cat.
Terrible. Cat, yes, Chapman Cat. Cat had the strategy of, okay, we're not going to make this happen all at once across the country. Let's go focus state by state. And then she is the one who really founded the League of Women Voters. And, yeah, we've been voting on, you know, originally it started out to be how do we now educate, now that we got the right to vote, how do we educate women so that they can make good choices?
Okay. Let's explain a couple of basics here before we get into issues and so forth. In terms of the primary, you're already late if you haven't registered to vote, right?
Yes. Yeah, it's too late. But, you know, if there are going to be runoff races, and so if you register now, you could still possibly vote in a runoff race if it's in your area.
Okay.
The other thing...
Go ahead.
I was going to say, the other thing to know about runoffs, you mentioned this earlier, if you vote in the primary and you pick either the Democrat Party or the Republican Party, for the runoff, you have to vote in that same party's runoff race.
Okay.
So if you vote Democrat, but there's only a runoff in the Republican race, you can't go vote for that.
All right. And obviously, Tuesday the 17th was the first day to vote in person. And the 27th will be the last early date to vote in person.
Yes. And we always encourage people to go vote early. In all the counties that have countywide elections, you know, you can go to any of the polling locations. The lines are usually smaller during early voting, and you know, there's just more options during early voting.
Yeah, and I should say, this year particularly, given how heated our Senate race is, really for both the Republican and Democratic parties, there are going to be a lot of folks on Election Day. Voting early just makes sense if you don't want to, you know, spend your whole afternoon there.
Absolutely. And it's exciting that we have lots of competitive races this year.
Oh, yeah.
And so it is really important that everyone get out to vote, because otherwise it's just a few people that's deciding who's really going to represent us.
And that's the thing about, let me get into that first. Election day is March 3rd. We should get that in. And if you're voting by mail, your ballot has to be received by then. Right?
Yes. Yes. And there's a little bit of things to be aware of because of the change at the U.S. Postal Office.
Right.
When you drop off your mail now, they don't immediate mark it with a postmark. It may be several days. And so the rule is that if you have a mail-in ballot, as long as it's postmarked before the end of the race, mm-hmm. or before the election day, then it can be received actually the day after till 5 p.m.
Okay.
But if there is no postmark, then it has to be received on election day.
Okay. And it is, let's see, when is the last time? I have to go back to my list here. Last day to vote by mail application to be received. Yeah, it's the 20th of February.
Yeah, the application. So you have to apply to do a ballot by mail, and there's eligibility, like you're 65 or older, mm-hmm. Disabled, ill, pregnant, or if you're going to be out of the county, or if you're in jail but still eligible to vote.
Okay.
Then you can vote by mail. And the application has to be received, again, it has to be received by the voter registrar's office by the 27th of February.
The 27th, okay.
Yeah, but then your ballot is due back by March 3rd.
Okay, all righty. And there is, forgive me, but a lot of misinformation about a lot of this, if you don't mind talking about it just a little bit. For example, about mail-in ballots, there has been information put out there, and I'm trying not to be partisan here, that we're the only country that does this. We're not.
We're not.
We're one of like 34, 35 countries around the world that do this, including most of our allies in Europe, for example.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm presuming it has not generally been much of a problem. Every election has mistakes. Every election has people trying to play the system a little bit, but by and large, it's worked, right?
Absolutely. In all the studies that have been, as you mentioned, it's minuscule. It never would impact the outcome of a race. And whether you do vote by mail or you vote in person with a machine or you do hand ballots, there is going to be some small amount of error.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, there are always a few people, bad actors out there that may try to trick the system.
Mm-hmm.
But it is so minuscule that it's really unfortunate that voting by mail gets that bad rap, and also the notion of undocumented or illegal aliens voting. I mean, that just does not happen enough that it gets so much attention. You know, there's bigger issues out there that we should be dealing with.
Indeed, like who we're voting for. That is the other part of this. Voter fraud is mm-hmm. obviously the issue du jour these days. It occurs. It probably occurred if you voted for George Washington way back when.
Yes.
No doubt. It is, as you say, not generally enough, well, not really, absolutely enough. I hear your cat. It's generally not enough to affect the outcome of an election.
Right. It isn't. And so, you know, we've over the years, we've developed many, many, many safeguards in our system with all the checks and balances that are done. The same thing with voter registration. It really is unfortunate that there's this push of the misinformation that there's a problem.
But let's do talk about now. I have to when I go and vote, I have to show them my driver's license. Is that a particular problem? Does the league have any issue with that?
You know, when they first introduced it to here in Texas, what, 7-8 years ago, I guess, or maybe 10, I know it was something that we really did not support because we really felt like the voter registration system had good checks and balances in it. And, the issue, just like the issue is now where they're trying to push to have voter ID for registering to vote, it's a little more complicated with registering to vote, but so we'll stick to just voting, showing your ID.
Okay.
People are now used to it, and there are documents that you, a form you can sign and documents. The issue is when, you know, you have people like, let's say, that were in the flood zone, and they lost everything.
Yeah.
And now they don't have that documentation. It makes it more difficult for people in various situations like that who don't have an ID. And it's not always easy to go get that ID. And it can be expensive for some people, especially, you know, if they're working multiple jobs. And so we've always took the stance that we want people, we should be making voting easier for people, not harder for people. And the more layers that you put on of hoops that they have to jump through to vote, that disenfranchises a lot of people. And we think the, you know, people's right to vote is, it's really, should be a right. It's not a privilege. And that, you know, everybody who is eligible should be able to vote easily.
Well, and there are, when it comes to registering, and I know, I understand all of the arguments for having the birth certificate and all of that. My family, frankly, is a wonderful example of why it can get complicated. Number one, obviously, my wife married and now uses my name. We adopted a daughter. So her original birth certificate is not obviously our family name. Since I've been in this business for 55 years now, early on, I had a news director that told me to change my name. I did on the air. After my father passed away, I realized I wouldn't hurt his feelings anymore, so we did it legally. So now my poor daughter has three names to deal with. She is 28, living in another state, and she said, I need to get a real ID. And I sent her the name change legal papers. I sent her the adoption birth certificate and her old passport. It can get complicated for some folks. Not everybody's in broadcasting, but yes, it can.
Yeah, absolutely, it can, and not everybody may have the means to do all of that. And so, that's why we think in so many cases it's unnecessary to have these things. We all want secure elections. None of us want voter fraud. But, you know, there's reasonable checks to put in place, and then there's extremes.
Well, so what would you consider reasonable? Just out of curiosity, you're right. Nobody wants voter fraud. Nobody wants non-citizens voting. And we've already established that's pretty rare. But how do we guard against that? And believe me, I've known a few, we all do, in Texas particularly, they don't want to call attention to themselves. The punishment for voting illegally is deportation. Yeah,
exactly. It's very stiff. And so nobody, I can't imagine anybody wanting to do that intentionally and taking that risk.
If you love Cornyn or Tallarico that much, that you would risk living here, okay. But yeah, that's quite a risk.
Right. And we think, you know, the checks and balances that we have in place now, again, voting, there is no voting fraud that is so great that it's making a difference. It is minuscule. And so why are we trying to make that even harder?
So that, the league is not obviously, I can tell, not in favor of some of the more extreme proposals.
Yeah, the SAVE Act that's trying to be passed at the federal government, and the big issue with that is showing ID now for voter registration. Well, mm-hmm. in a state like Texas, where we don't have online voter registration, we are dependent on what we call volunteer deputy registrars, and they register thousands and thousands of people every year, because we have people moving in and out of Texas mm-hmm. all the time. Well, we also, it is in our election code, it's illegal for those voter registrars to take information from the people that they're registering.
Mm-hmm.
And so how are they going to now collect proof of citizenship in order to register? So that means we're either going to not be able to have all those voter registrars, which means less people will register to vote, and that's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Or we're going to burden them somehow with collecting this information and trusting them, but not, to hand that over somehow to the election. It would just be very, very messy in states like Texas. And mm-hmm. there's seven other states that don't have online voter registration.
Okay.
That I think, they do the similar thing. And so it's just already, if you got to show your voter ID when you go vote, why do you have to show it now when you register to vote? And, the system that are in places for across the country and here in Texas, when people register to vote, there's a whole check that the process goes through with the election administrations and the Secretary of State's office to make sure that they truly are eligible. And if they're not, then they don't get on the voter rolls. Now, do some get through?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. But there's, again, checks that will catch that down the road.
Okay. Do we know, and forgive me, I should have looked it all up before I walked into this room. Do we know what some of the stats are in terms of voter fraud around the country, how often it occurs? I know it's relative, it's very minuscule.
Yeah, it is minuscule, and I don't have the exact numbers. I know I've read articles, but I'm not very good at keeping those things in my head.
Yeah, I'm afraid I don't either.
But the Brennan Center is a great resource with having done studies around that and putting out papers. I'm afraid to say a number because I'm afraid
right.
that the number I would say, but it's like 0.000, two
something,
or 0.00001.
Yeah.
It really is that small. And again, nobody pay attention to that exact number that I said because the
I'm
number
sorry,
is, right,
I've been
but it is something like that.
I'm sorry, I'm writing it down, Joyce, and I'm going to hold you to it. No, it is minuscule. And as we said, and we both agree, it's you don't want any. If you could possibly have an absolutely zero mistake election, that would be absolutely ideal. But as long as human beings are running it, it's going to be tough. And a lot of those, we should point out, a lot of those human beings are volunteers. You guys help recruit. You encourage volunteers.
Oh, yeah. A lot of our members are volunteer deputy registrars helping to register people to vote. We encourage all our members to be politically active, so we encourage them to be poll workers. We encourage them to be poll monitors. We encourage them to be active in whatever political party they want to be. It's just when they are doing their league work, they have to be strictly nonpartisan.
Mm-hmm.
Because we want people engaged in our process.
Both sides. All sides.
Yes, absolutely.
Indeed. Does it make it tough for you? I know the league has taken stands on issues. I know the the press release that initially got me interested was the league's thoughts on redistricting, changing the congressional map.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, well, I was going to say, you know, especially with this round, the way it was done was not transparent at all. It did not have the input of the people, especially the people that were impacted. And it was done so late in the process. I don't know if you've heard about some of the issues that we've had with people not being able to get their voter registration cards.
Or candidates who don't know what district I'm running in. I'm from Houston, and it's been sliced up, yeah.
Exactly. And so it really is, you know, it would have been, even though we didn't even like the 2021 maps, it would have been better for us to stay with the 2021 maps so that we didn't have that short time for the Secretary of State and the election offices to scramble to meet this need for such an important primary race. But yeah, we do think that, you know, we disagree that with the Supreme Court's ruling that political gerrymandering is okay, but we also think that it's most of the time it is racial gerrymandering that's happening.
Most if people are honest, they probably don't like gerrymandering to begin with. These changes were, and it's not just Texas; it's several states have jumped on the bandwagon, and it's partisan. If you're a Democrat in California, if you're a Republican in Texas, you're in favor of the gerrymandering.
And both parties do it, absolutely. If you're in truly blue states, like in New York or
Massachusetts,
Maine, they do gerrymandering also. So it really is not just one party. And it is bad for everybody. It's bad for the people, because then we don't get real representation, because then politicians are focused on how do I win my next election instead of how do I represent my constituents.
Well, and when it's gerrymandered to the point that districts are just a slam dunk, why should I bother? I know how my district's going to go. Yeah,
voters get discouraged, and I think some candidates get discouraged as well. Because it's like, why, you know, I can't run here. I have no chance of winning. And so we lose good, strong candidates because of that as well.
Okay. We're heading into the end of the early voting. The primary is March 3rd. And then comes the midterms up in the fall, which is going to be and sadly, turnout is no doubt going to be less, but maybe not in Texas, because it is going to be a hot and heavy race. But turnout's going to be less across the country, and so much is going to be decided.
Absolutely. Yeah, Texas, unfortunately, and I don't have the exact numbers here, but from what I've been watching over the last 10 years, our voter turnout, we're usually in the bottom 10 states for voter turnout, even in the presidential elections. We usually get less than 50%.
Why do you think that is? I mean, I know we're all naturally lazy, let's be honest, but but that aside, it's only, in the presidential race, only once every 4 years. All you have to do is show up, mark your ballot, and go home. So I've always been flummoxed as well as to why turnout is so low.
You know, we hear lots of different reasons. They don't like the candidates that are running. Well, you didn't vote in the primary to help change that. I will give Texas credit. One of the things we do really well is early voting, and that we give people plenty of time to be able to get to the polls. So even somebody that might have multiple jobs, you know, there's voting 2 weeks and open on the weekends. So that is one thing that I really will say Texas does really good. And maybe I shouldn't say that because they might go try and change it.
Indeed. Let's not do that. Hey, Joyce, we are just flat out of time. Okay. I am so sorry. I thank you. Joyce LeBombard, president of the League of Women Voters of Texas. Get out and vote, folks.
Absolutely. And use Vote 411.
Vote411.org. If you need all the information you might possibly need, is right there. Joyce, thank you again. I appreciate you being with us.
Thank you, Roger.
In Focus is a weekly public affairs program featuring members of the local community working to make East Texas a better place. In Focus is produced by KTBB and The Team Sports Radio. And we thank you for listening. Join us again next week. Take KTBB with you wherever you take your smartphone. Just download the KTBB mobile app, free for Apple and Android. It's powered by ETR and Train.